born ready. No, it's Sundance in the Sundance in the morning, and I'm here with co-host Stacy Domalski and the director of another interesting dramatic feature, and this is called Lowdown, and we got Jeff Price with us. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, hi.
Okay.
Great to be here.
This sounds interesting on a couple of different levels, but just tell us the basic story here.
The basic story is a kid growing up, a young girl, in the 1970s in Los Angeles, and her father is an artist, has some interesting problems. He's a jazz musician, and kind of burdened with a heroin addiction, a very uncomfortable relationship with the law.
Okay, and it's actually based on a true jazz musician, right?
It's based on a memoir by mm-hmm. Amy Jo Albany, and she is the daughter of Joe Albany, mm-hmm. who is a musician, bebop, piano player, little known, very, very interesting career, was around pre-bebop, playing with the jazz greats, was Charlie Parker's piano player mm-hmm. in Los Angeles in the mid-40s, really poised for kind of legendary fame and really worthy of legendary fame. Mm-hmm. And no one quite understands what happened. He was fired by Charlie Parker just before what are considered to be his best recordings. And I think in some ways that hurt Joe so terribly. And he was an interesting, literate guy. His friends were, he was hanging out with Terry Southern mm-hmm. and Lenny Bruce. But he played in clubs and he played in joints. And in the 60s, he had a daughter. His wife left after a few years, and Joe is left to raise this kid alone, single dad, heroin addict,
jazz musician,
running from the law, on probation, always one iota away from catastrophe. And that's our story.
Yeah, with a background in experimental films and shooting documentaries, mm-hmm. and I think that the two, as our note said, you did shot two for Bruce Weber that I think played in past film festivals.
So yeah.
Quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
Broken Noses and Let's Get Lost. And yeah. Let's Get Lost was, remind me, that was wasn't that also a musician?
Yeah, that was the story of Chet Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, this is my story. I'm just, I'm coming to feature films a little late in life, and I'm a lifelong filmmaker. But my filmmaking came out of I'm a little obsessive compulsive. I came out of loving home movies. And I, at age 12, was handed an 8mm movie camera. And really what I love to do is film. Everyone that knows me knows that I have a movie camera with me every day. I'm always taking a movie of something. And that led me to becoming, I guess, for lack of a better term, an experimental filmmaker. And it was so long ago now, 25 years ago, Bruce Weber looked at these silent 8mm films and he thought, oh, well, let's just make some films together. Because the way you do it, you don't need a crew. You just get up and you just start shooting. So we were both mad jazz fans, and Chet Baker, we had a little bit of – we idolized just a little bit. I mean, we had a kind of – you fall in love with Chet Baker. And the act of filming is so often the act of falling in love. You look at a person, and you get that gaze of love. And this is how love is expressed in movies, through this kind of gaze. Any movie where someone falls in love needs to have a moment where there's a gaze into the camera, which is playing the perspective of the other person. And that gaze drove us mad, that we would do anything to find that gaze in our day-to-day life. So we followed Chet Baker for a year, kind of obsessively, and we made that film, Let's Get Lost, which I don't know why, but after that film, I was working as a director of photography. It was always a little bit awkward because I came up with a different kind of mentorship than most DPs. And it wasn't until I met Amy Jo Albany. She was working on my crew. And I'm like, Albany? And it turns out her father is Joe Albany. And I was like, really? I love your father's music. Oh, well, by the way, I grew up in these sort of crazy transient hotels in Los Angeles. Oh, tell me more. And here we are.
And as you said, making the jump to feature films relatively late. So what finally got you to jump?
To do it? No, it was just caring, loving that story. And I couldn't get enough of Amy's story. It became a little bit of an obsession, like our obsession with Chet Baker, like my love of filming, which I do in a way as an obsession. And I couldn't get enough of listening to Amy tell stories.
Was it hard to get her to open up? Or
you know, yeah, yes. Until she found that I was a fan of her dad's.
Mm.
And I don't. You know, Joe Albany's a very obscure musician, so she. It's not every day she comes across someone that's
knows her dad.
Knows her dad. So, yeah, she started telling me stories, and she wrote a beautiful memoir, which our film is basically an adaptation of.
Mm-hmm.
So creating this, you know, person based on a real person, but it's being done by an actor in this case. And
yeah.
what kind of a gaze did you want to get the audience to direct at?
Yeah.
John Hawks.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have this amazing cast: John Hawks, Elle Fanning, Glenn Close, Peter Dinklage, Flea.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. How did that cast come together? For me, it didn't make any sense. Well, the answer is the story. And I think these actors, they read the screenplay, and it's so convincing. It was so convincing to them. And John, there's no explaining his craft. You say rolling, and
he becomes Joe Albany.
He becomes Joe Albany. You look at him, you would swear he was a shapeshifter. And Amy was very involved in the film. She was there every day. She was an amazing resource for the actors. And she would come to me and say, "This is the only explanation is magic power. He's doing things that are channeling my father that I never wrote, that I never spoke of."
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of huddling between Elle Fanning and Amy. Well, I guess Elle is playing the Amy character.
Yeah, yeah. We on the set we had to always say the real Amy, the fake Amy. I need the real Amy on set. And that was also just a marvel to look at. There was something. It's that idea of going back in time and seeing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There was some real spark of love between the two of them. I've got a few photographs. It's the radio, so we can't look at them, but they're very beautiful to see next to one another.
Yeah. And an interesting guy in your cast is, you know, when people say, well, what does Sundance, an independent film, contributed? And one response is a guy like John Hawks, who has shown his really bloomed and shown what he can do in films that are kind of generally considered independent and stuff that is played at Sundance.
Yeah. John, you know, John had to play the piano.
I was going to ask if John plays the piano before this film. Did
you know, he's a musician.
Is he?
He plays guitar. He's not a jazz musician.
Mm-hmm.
He understands the piano from a little bit from being a musician, but he doesn't play. And it was very important to everyone. Mm-hmm. That there was no ambiguity about the character being the pianist, and he's playing a virtuoso pianist. So we had this absolutely brilliant music director, Ohad Talmor, who had been listening to Joe's solos for years. We worked on the screenplay for 8 years, and Ohad's a dear friend, and he's been, for all that time, listening to the solos, transcribing them, determining what was teachable that wouldn't be easy, that you could pan down to the hands and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And work with John on, and no one really knew until the day we shot it if it was going to work or not. So it was a very tense day, and we had scheduled John last so that he could really concentrate and really be there, and I was there with the camera. And it's a party scene, a big scene. The music starts. We're playing back a historic recording of Joe Albany. So he's got to match note for note the hands of a virtuoso on cue. One unbroken take, and the camera swings down to his hands, and I'm looking at the viewfinder, and I'm thinking, this isn't happening. It's perfect. And I go back up, and we swing back down to the hands again two or three times. Said cut, I heard a stampede in the hallway. And it was everyone in the video village, all the producers, all shocked and disbelief. No one could believe their eyes bursting into the room.
So it was a one-take thing?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's John. That's John. Everyone, the actors had such power. Now, again, I'm new to this kind of filmmaking, and I'm working with the great actors alive.
Yeah, and a lot of buzz for Glenn Close, Glenn, I think, in this picture.
When you're there with Glenn and you sense the power of her craft, the artistry that she performs, and I thought, well, I'm seeing one of the great works of all time. I could go in a time machine, try to find something better than that, and I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. This is a period piece. I wonder if you can talk a little a bit
sure.
about evoking the period, because, I always hate it when somebody does a clumsy job of period.
Yeah.
They do a picture in the 40s, and
yeah.
they think all they have to do is play in the mood in the background.
Yeah.
But it is so great when somebody gets the period right.
Yeah.
How did you approach that?
I hope we did that, and we've gotten great feedback about it. I'm of the 70s. I can close my eyes and convince myself I'm back then and unhappily open them. But and Amy Albany is also a great power of memory for these things. So so everything was done carefully and everything was styled and
did you have a production designer and
Elliot Hofstetter was brilliant. But I think the thing that married it all is we shot on film. And we shot on 16mm.
Oh, wow.
Which is a kind of surface image that just rings the 70s. And people see it. And I've had people say, wow, you got the atmosphere of the 70s in the first shot. And there was very little in the shot. I don't know what I'm responding to that's giving me this sense of being transported. And it's... that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's even the aspect ratio we picked was something that was
more retro,
more of that time.
Mm-hmm.
The lenses we used were kind of optically of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think you've got you've actually got your first showing just
today.
A couple of hours.
I know.
Yeah.
How do you feel first? Is this the absolute world premiere for the film?
Is
Amy going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
In front of 1,300 people?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little nervous.
You got the
you have a right to be.
The agonies of the Sundance director.
It's a nervousness that I'm reveling in. It's a very pleasurable sense mm-hmm. of being nervous. I'm loving it. I'm so excited to be here and so proud and grateful to be at Sundance. And one of the things, because I am new to this, so I'm learning things all the time, and one of the things I learned is, well, the film's not finished until you show it to an audience. So in a way, I don't even feel it's going to be finished today in this sort of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And of all of the places and all of the audiences I could have hoped for, this is the one that was almost in my head when I was making it. So, I'm rather thrilled.
Oh, well, good for you. We're happy for you, too.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, Jeff, your date with destiny is is 12:15 today at the Eccles.
Yeah, my heart rate's going up.
That's our biggest theater, so people listening may have
luck getting in.
Room. And later on, Wednesday, you're at the Library Center Theater, Thursday at the Yarrow Hotel, Friday at Prospector Square, and you wrap up on Saturday going down to Provo Canyon and the Sundance Resort. But you're here with Lowdown. And, Jeff, thanks very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.
From New Orleans, it's American Roots and Friends.
Hi, I'm Sharon Jones.
And Bosco Mann.
Hey there, this is John Doe.
Hello, folks, this is Jerry Lee Lewis.
Hey, world, it's Trombone Shaw.
This is Toots from 2 Centimeters.
This is Earl Scruggs.
This is Fats Domino.
This is Hugh Masekela.
I'm Elvis Costello.
And I'm Alan Toussaint.
Saying stick with Nick on American Roots.
If you know what I'm saying.
Sunday mornings at 11 on KPCW.